We are extremely excited about what a reimagined Arrowhead will be. Trust me when I tell you, what you're going to see in this building is going to shock you. It's going to amaze you. And there's going to be benefits for every single member of our fan base and every single person who comes into our building.
Such an abrupt end to talking and music and everything else.
But that was a mic drop moment.
Right. Just Stephen St. John, Nate Buchanan, Mark Boerichter, Jake Gutierrez, supposedly running things.
Picked the wrong one.
Is that what you get?
I picked the wrong
one. I'm asking. I'm not being a smartass.
Okay.
I'm asking you guys a question. When you saw those renderings, you saw those plans for Arrowhead, were you shocked? You were like,
no.
Wow, this is...
No. I was super underwhelmed.
Bo Richter said it made him feel like he's never seen anything in his life.
Ever?
No.
I do not represent the Chiefs organization. This is in...
You do or don't?
Well, I'm a part of an alumni group that we do a lot of things on behalf of the organization.
Okay, take that hat off.
Okay, but yes. This is my own personal opinion on this, okay?
Please.
You just asked a question before I got in here on this vote, and I'm a Johnson County resident. I'm not a Jackson County resident. I would vote yes on this just because I believe that downtown baseball should happen the first time around. That's just where I'm at on this thing. We all know that the Glass family at that point didn't want to do as much toward it, right? I think that would have been the best plan at that time. That being said, I'm fine with whatever happens, okay, to be honest with you. There's one thing, and I've said this on here before. We have in Kansas City's unique place that has tremendous civic pride, right, in our city. But we also get really worked up about a lot of things that have to do with progress and change. Just look at how many people didn't want anything to do with the new airport on things. Mm-hmm. And for guys like you and me, Nate, who travel quite a bit, it's awesome.
I mean, this guy gets a haircut at the airport now.
I know.
I do. I love that place.
And so where I go with this, and I've said this
they
before.
They can do a better job staffing some of the restaurants at the airport. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now.
But my point is.
Oh, now it's Mr. Bitch and complain about the airport.
I am going to. Hey, if I'm going
to.
I'm going to be fair and balanced.
Your haircut at the airport?
I get my haircut there quite
often. Oh, you missed all this, didn't you?
Yeah. They got an awesome place there.
Got a little barbershop there. Yeah.
It's an awesome place.
One of his main arguments for the new airport was he can get his haircut there.
That was not one of my main arguments, but I do get my haircut there often.
Haircuts are overrated.
But he can also do these things just in town,
right?
You know, but doesn't want to.
The airport is struggling. Some of the restaurants are struggling for staffing.
They're struggling.
I don't think that's just an airport problem.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not.
I understand.
But where I go with this is, right, we are very resistant to wanting to change and everything.
We don't
else.
Want things to get better.
That being said, right,
wow.
That being said,
it's nice the way it was.
That being said,
who's that supposed to be?
I was.
That's grumpy old Kansas City person that doesn't want progress.
I was very underwhelmed by the plans that the Chiefs put out there in regards to the reimagined Arrowhead.
Why?
Why? I feel like, and I'll say this, like, I feel like this is, and I'm going to defend the Chiefs here a little bit. This is, this extension on this sales tax is more about the Royals' new stadium, okay, in terms of where the location was going to be, right, all those different types of things. The Chiefs have kind of had to sit back and go, okay, if this passes, we know Kauffman Stadium is going to be no longer, so now we have this area to do something with. I think those plans will change if this passes. I think there will be more. I'm not saying there's going to be a new stadium there, but I think that there wasn't – it just looks like, okay, we're going to flatten – to me, we're going to flatten Kauffman Stadium – we're going to put a new area in here where we can do more tailgate activations and different things. We're going to put some new ribbon boards around Arrowhead. We're going to add some more club spaces, and we're going to put a couple new big video boards up on things.
Don't forget those field suites.
Yeah, that's part of the club aspect I was getting at. But yes, like it's not, again, I don't have a problem with it. It's just, it was.
How much is it supposed to cost?
A lot. And I think everybody knows this. I shouldn't say everybody knows this because they don't, but things obviously cost a lot more these days than they used to, right? And it's always just going to cost you more to try to update and maintain an older facility because it's one of those things you start getting in to do a little bit of renovations here construction-wise, and now you got to tear more out or do this or that because you find another issue with it, right, in terms of updating stuff. So I love Arrowhead Stadium. I love everything about it. I love the game day experience. I loved it as a player. I love it as a fan. I just thought because of this entire process kind of feeling rushed, right, with plans, with community benefits agreements, all that kind of stuff, that the Chiefs almost were in a situation where they had to they felt like they had to put something out there, obviously, and this was one of the ideas.
Look, you can vote yes and still believe that the Royals and Chiefs could have done a better job planning this
absolutely.
And presenting this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, you can disagree with some points and still vote yes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's, and I don't care what level, I don't care what office we're talking about, there's no candidate for any office that I agree with in totality.
Right.
It's just impossible. It can't happen. And so that, because everyone's
well, you're
different.
Just not an independent thinker. If that happens, right. You're just like following whatever they say.
And so, you know, do I agree with everything that's been presented? No. Has it been, did they do a great job? I think they'll be the first to admit, no. Is this vote closer than they anticipated? Yes. I mean, they got Casey Wolf running around trying to get votes.
What's really happened to me, like when you hear that clip from Mark Donovan and he says, "Trust me when I tell you this is going to blow your mind," that's kind of what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like that's what I would be doing. I said I would vote yes. I'm kind of trusting you guys will actually do something good with this money because you haven't really presented something that makes it clear and obvious what this is going
to
be.
You had a chance to blow our minds and you didn't.
Yeah, because renderings, when I saw the renderings, like my thought, okay, so this is going to cost $800 million. What are they going to do with the other $750 million?
They took that from AT&T Stadium. That's right. A nice idea. And they just like, okay, well, then
I mean,
else?
It's just like, that's going to cost $800 million? That was the thing when you saw the...
Yeah.
And with the Royals, it's like, okay, what's going to be in this site? Now we're going to have a deadline to have it in this site or that site. And then the deadline passes. We still don't have a site. Now we are going to pick a third site that's not either of the two sites we said. And then the week of the vote, well, we're also going to change the site we have and keep this road involved.
That's the part to me, like, I think people need to understand, like, this is always – all these plans are going to be fluid, right? And that's not what everybody wants to understand. When I say wants to understand, wants – to know, they want all of the information, you know, on that side of things.
Well, they don't have it.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's never going to be that way, kind of regardless, though. That's the thing.
And, like, you know, from my perspective, I live in Kansas City, Missouri, but I'm in Platt, right? My son's in Jackson County. Mm-hmm. And so he's interested. And we had a nice conversation about it on Sunday because, shockingly, he was asking, you know, my advice and just about, you know, what I thought of it. And look, anymore, you get to that age where when you start to have opinions about things or vote for things, it's almost like you're not even doing it for yourself anymore. You're thinking about what kind of city do you want for your kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the people that will enjoy it for a longer time for most of their lives. And even though they're not a voting age, like especially one of my daughters is super interested in this. Because, like, Selena loves to go to games with me. We go to every stadium in and out of town, and she loves attending live sporting events. She loves going to the Big 12 tournament, and she's super interested. And it, even though she can't vote, it's important to her because she'll be the one that benefits from this and enjoys this more than anyone else in our family, you know? And so for me, I would absolutely vote yes. Does it mean I agree with everything on that side and how they've done it? No, it doesn't. But I would vote yes.
Yeah.
Because number one, I mean, look at me. My whole career, my whole life is built around sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's who you're talking to here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I want the Royals to be happy. I want the Chiefs to be happy. I want to be happy. And if I think about the type of downtown I want Kansas City to be, it includes a downtown ballpark.
Yeah.
It just does. That's right. in my mind's eye. And I think that even without a ballpark, downtown now will continue to grow and continue to thrive, but it won't grow and thrive at the rate it would with a downtown ballpark. And I think people are so dead set and dug in to just disagree and be pissy about everything, they're unwilling to really understand and admit how great it would end up being for downtown and how great it would end up being for our city. Because I think it would. So I heard the same arguments about T-Mobile Center. Well, Kemper Arena's just fine. Kemper Arena, we get everything at Kemper Arena. What do you need another arena for? People laugh at that. We heard that.
Oh, yeah.
People bitch and complain about that. What do you need that for? You went through this about the new airport, right? And you get so mad when people like me, like, we have to have a new airport, right? There's so many things in this town. People didn't want to do any work for Union Station. And Union Station was just dormant for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Look what Union Station is now.
Yeah.
People resisted that as well.
I think what's hard for some people, though, is that they, you know, the people from out here, and I can see this side of it, that they went out to opening day, and Kauffman is still an awesome ballpark. It's still a great place to go watch a ball game.
Yep.
I remember.
It could be better.
At the end of the Big 12 days, like, going to Kemper to watch the Big 12 tournament was miserable. It was miserable because the concourses were tight. You couldn't get to your seat on time. The city had just outgrown it. And so I think going to Kauffman and seeing that, like, this is still a great place.
Sure
it
is.
It can still be better. But Kemper was a dump. The airport was a nightmare. Like, so if you spent any time at those places, they needed upgrading. They needed to be, you know, changed. They needed to be moved away from.
And I think, but also for me, it's unique to the sport. I want a downtown baseball stadium. I want that. And I think it'll be great to have those 81 dates for a downtown ballpark to continue to enhance downtown.
I totally
agree. If you ask me about Arrowhead and the Chiefs, I would be dead set against a football stadium downtown.
Two different scenarios.
You know what I want to do? I want to drive out with nothing else around and go in that parking lot and see all the tailgating and smell all the barbecue and see, because it's you don't need anything else.
Yeah.
Like with baseball, I know there's some tailgaters, but I think baseball
it's not nearly as big of a part of baseball.
Let's go in here. Yeah. Let's have a happy hour. Let's go get some appetizers. Let's go do this. Let's go have a drink. Then we'll
guess what, by the way, if you live in Platte County, you're paying that sales tax.
You know,
doing that.
Or after the game, let's go in here and have a late dinner or go have some whatever else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You don't need that at Arrowhead. You got everything you want there. Because that's what are we known for besides winning championships, tailgating, and the game day experience. And I do think that the game day experience would be damaged heavily if Arrowhead was downtown.
Because it's massive,
the same thing.
Absolutely. Massively. It's not the same thing at
like,
all.
When I think about it, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And I love Kauffman Stadium. I loved Royal Stadium. Some of the best memories of my life or being at that stadium in the 70s, being at that stadium in the 80s, may not sound great, but being dropped off there when I was 11 or 12 years old and being given some money and go buy yourself a GA ticket and 3 hot dogs and see you later, you know? And I'm one of the best hot dogs I ever had. And I love it. And going there with my grandparents and going there with my mom and dad, I love that place. Mm-hmm. Even fast forward into 2014 and 2015 with my own kids.
One of the best hot dogs I ever had.
And with you guys and having those great memories. But we make the memories. It's the people. If that stadium is downtown and hopefully they get on another playoff run, there's great memories to be made, and it'll be because of the people, of who you are and who you're with. And I believe that at the end of the day, a downtown baseball stadium would be so awesome for this town. And I do believe, you know, we've had some fun with it. Enhance Arrowhead. Make that. It already is the NFL football destination of the world, right? And we're proud of it. It could be even better. Make it even better. And so, there, that's my perspective.
I fully agree on all of it.
Oh, Jesus.
Where
did I go wrong?
Let
me go through that step by step again.
Look, I said this earlier, and maybe to some people, and I realize that I realized that during the airport debate that some people don't care about this, but I am very proud to be from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. When I go do these games now and I travel, like all the other broadcasters that got picked up in this MLS deal are from New York, L.A., Miami. They ask me where I'm from, and I say Kansas City, and there's like an eyebrow raise, like, huh, Kansas City, huh? And I'm like, yeah, I'm massively proud to be from here. And then I tell them about all the stuff, and a lot of times now they're like, oh, man, that new soccer stadium that the Current have, that's incredible. That was all over TV. I saw those watch parties you guys had. Everybody knows, obviously, about Mahomes and Taylor Swift and all those things. It's going to go up to an 11 when the freaking World Cup is here for multiple games at Arrowhead Stadium, by the way. And I'm insanely proud of that stuff. That stuff matters a lot to me, and that's one of the reasons I hated our old airport, because it was like, man, the first thing people see when they come to this town is, this must be a podunk town if this is their airport.
Right.
And this is anything but a podunk town. This is an incredible Midwestern city that is world-class. Like, that's the thing that I love so much when people come here is how surprised they are at how world-class this city is. And downtown at the Kauffman Performing Arts Center and the areas around Sprint Center are a huge component to that. But you're right in this fact, Stephen, and this is why I'm for downtown baseball stadium, is if you just sit there and just rest on that, you lose momentum and you start to slip backwards. Mm-hmm. Because I did live downtown before the Sprint Center was there. And there was not much down there at all. And when it got dark at night, everybody left.
And you were out there. You were looking for something.
I was looking for something to do at that point in my life.
You were looking to get after things. It. You'd sniff around and there was nothing.
We found some things. We found some things on an underground level.
Wow. those are called key parties.
Yeah, well.
Well, I think. And this
but the momentum is important to keep going. You keep building on it. And I think it is. That's. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
You're fine. What I was going to say to piggyback off of those things, you know, I just got done saying nobody has more civic pride than our city. I really, really, truly believe that, right? And we're also, there's a lot of people that are very resistant to change because they don't want it to change. You know, it's not that they're against the growth. It's just we are this, quote, smaller Midwestern town in the flyover states to a lot of people around the country. That is changing. I don't think they want Kansas City to lose that identity is where I go with this with some of those people. But to your point, Steven, it's the people here that make it that way, and all of these are just enhancements to Kansas City. You know, growth is going to continue to happen with people wanting to move here because of the cost of living and different things. And I also understand the other side of the argument for people that are against this, that it could displace some people. And, you know, all those types of things. I understand some of that piece to this, but you know, if this, as an example, if this doesn't pass today, what's the next step, right? There's nothing at this point that says the Royals just don't gobble up everything right where they want to have the stadium at right now and build it anyway, you know, type of thing, right? Like, that's a legitimate, that could happen. Like, they could go to the Kansas side. They can move out of the Kansas City metro 100%, you know, just completely go like somewhere else and relocate. There's a lot of different things that are truly on the table, and that's not a negotiating piece to say, hey, we're hanging this over your head. It is a negotiating piece for some of it, but I'll say this. I thought I was really for a downtown baseball stadium back in 06, around that time frame before they renovated everything, just because there's something about downtown baseball that if you've been to other cities and been to ballparks, you understand what that experience looks like around it. And I'm 100% on board with Arrowhead continuing to be somewhere else, right? Like when we talk about that or where it's currently at, because the amount of game days and the experience out there are so much less than what they are at a baseball stadium.
It also, I should probably add this too, because it means something to me. Like, downtown means something to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, look, I grew up in Northeast, people know, you know, right off Independence Avenue on Jackson. And then I lived on Van Brunt, and I lived on St. John. But, like, when I was a kid and my dad was always gone working or gallivanting around Kansas City, my mom shouldn't have a driver's license. She didn't drive, right? And so I'm talking about, you know, 76, 77, 70, until the early 80s. And we would get on the bus, and probably, I don't know, at least 3 days a week, we would go downtown and spend the day downtown. I can't, there was like a big shoe store that had a slide in it. And I can't remember, what the hell was it? Maybe Buster Brown, I don't know.
There was an amazing Halloween store downtown that we used to go visit when I was a kid, too.
My grandmother used to go, we'd meet her, we'd go to the big Macy's downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Just all these, like, I had such great memories of downtown. And that's all, you know, just because of proximity, it's 5 minutes away. It's like an extension in Northeast to me. And I felt like that was an extension of my neighborhood. And I spent so much time down there. And then as I got older and growing up, downtown just was nothing. It was dead. Mm-hmm. And it broke my heart. And there wasn't much reason to go downtown, right? And you wonder, like, is it just always going to be this way? But then you think about all the great things that have happened to it, and I love it. And that's personal to me. That's because that's what Kansas City is, downtown KCMO. That's represents a lot to me and my family, and I love the idea of a baseball stadium being there because it's taken such big steps and big strides, and it's so much better than it was a decade ago. And then I can't even, to be honest with you, wrap my head around what it would be like to have a baseball stadium down there. And it would be so awesome. And now it could happen, hopefully, when I'm still around, to be able to share it with, like, you guys, my friends, to be able to share it with my family, and to be able to think about my family is no longer here, that how thrilled they would have been with downtown baseball. So there's also an emotional element, too, where part of it pulls to me, like, oh, you had so many great memories out at Royal Stadium, but man, look at the possibilities and what this could mean for downtown KCMO. And I think just being unselfish, that's what's better for the city, and that's what's better for the sports fans of this town that I care about more than most, because that's who we're talking to right now, right? That's why, as a former Chiefs player and now someone in the media, and Nate as a, you know, as a bag man for the MLS and a host of shows, well, we depend on the sports fans in this town to make a living. So I want the sports fans to be happy, and I think ultimately this will make them happy. Not everything's perfect, though.
Nothing's perfect,
so there's going to be issues about it. But overall, that's how I feel.
I mean, I actually, look, I know this is a sensitive subject, and I don't want to minimize any of the impact on the businesses or the small number of residencies that are there on this footprint. But I actually think this part of downtown could really use an upgrade, too. I've been down to the Truman. I did an event down there. It was really cool.
I spent a lot of time in that area that we're talking about, and it could use a boost.
Yes, it could use a major boost. And I think that whole corridor, I don't know what the implications will be. That whole concept of covering 670 with more of an outdoor park type situation, and I realize that
that's a separate project.
Those things together, that would improve the aesthetics of downtown massively.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't really need to hear from people that don't spend any time downtown that lie about living downtown or lie about how much they're downtown. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just to make it convenient so they can bring attention to themselves about, you know, leading up to this vote. There's a lot of people that
that are claiming displacement. That
disingenuous.
Yeah.
And you have to, on both sides, you have to sift through it. Right? You have to see what's real and what's not. And so
the beauty of all this is that the residents of Jackson County have a voice in this, right? Like, that's That's
yeah.
That's and then the look, you have a voice as a voter.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but if it doesn't pass, like I don't think the Royals and Chiefs are leaving right away.
No.
The metro area.
No.
But I do think they start to explore other options.
Yes.
The first thing they do is explore options within the metro area.
Yes.
But yeah, like if I'm a Jackson County and I don't want it to come to that, that's just how I feel about it. I mean, it goes back to kind of like with these arguments about the airport. You know, somebody who goes to the airport once every 2 years. Okay, the people that are in and out of that thing all the time.
Why couldn't have Jake been here for all those debates about the airport?
Oh, that
he
would have
got
great.
Such a kick out of
had,
that.
We would have had some.
Oh, it would have been good.
Back and forth.
Yeah, or if you've traveled to other airports around the country, right? Like, that's the other portion of that. Like,
And like, for me, I don't use the airport very much. I don't like to travel, but I get it. I understand it.
Yeah.
You know, Phil worked at the airport, you know, last summer.
Yeah.
I understand the importance of it and why it was needed. I'll never use it as much as you guys do, but I get it, you know. So you could have an understanding just because you're not going to utilize it as much as someone else. You could still understand why it's the better option,
why it helps,
or why it's
the city overall.
You know, why it's a necessity.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, now, like for me, I sleep better at night knowing, oh boy, you know, Nate's got a flight today. His hair doesn't look right. He gets a haircut right there. You get on the flight and he looks fresh.
Director's cut, man. I love those guys.
That's what I'm talking about. I feel better about it.
They do karaoke Fridays.
Thank you. We'll take a break back after this.
I'm going to fly out on Friday.
Yeah, please.
I'm
going
to take some time.
You got a whole thing planned out there. You go out there and have dinner with them.
Yeah.
You know, what Jake, what was that like?
Have some meat, Mitch.
You're singing karaoke at a barbershop in the airport.
You think we're kidding about
this? Great vibes, man. Yeah, great vibes at that place. I love it.
Back after this on WHB. All right, so... Last week, I brought up the idea of Carson Wentz as backup quarterback, and he is now signed with the Chiefs. I've also mentioned this name as someone I'd like the Chiefs to take a chance on, buy low, and perhaps gain a big return. Let's see if Jake, you haven't seen this, have you, who's in town today? Let's see Jake's facial reaction. Adam Schefter says... that free agent running back J.K. Dobbins is currently in Kansas City on a visit with the Chiefs, per his agency, LAA Sports and Entertainment. The former Ravens starting running back is expected to have a home very soon.
Come on over.
If you can get him for a reasonable deal.
We've talked about this the last couple weeks. I've
take
said
a
this,
chance.
Right? There's opportunities there for veteran guys at the right deal.
I like that.
And you know what? The one position we haven't discussed.
I like that.
We really haven't discussed this position when I've been in here because we've talked about receiver, offensive line, corner. All right, the Snead situation is running back. We haven't talked about it.
So
because they've got really one guy with experience, and that's Isaiah Pacheco.
I would love this. I would love it. Okay, prove a deal. Try to get him healthy. You know, incentive laden contract. Low risk, high reward. Let's see, because he's a hell of a running back. Okay,
I mean, who else is even on the roster right now? P. Ryan,
I think is the
and the kid they loved in training camp last year.
Prince,
yes, Denaric Prince. Thank you.
Yeah.
But J.K. Dobbins, come on.
Yeah.
Okay, so just around the horn, real quick. We've got reaction to Carson Wentz is signing with the Chiefs.
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's okay. Like. I don't think it's really anything of note, to be honest with you, but it's... Look, the Chiefs have always gone this direction, for the most part, with Andy Reid, and that's having a veteran backup quarterback. Anything is possible was here, obviously, for several years. You know, the only time they really didn't was when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, he kind of, quote, had his redshirt year under Alex Smith. But... The backup quarterback position in the National Football League, once guys that, I don't want to call them failed starters, but once guys have had opportunities who are smart, who you can trust to come in and be able to pick up in a game situation, maybe start, you know, one or two or three games and hold down the fort till your main guy gets back.
And he could.
You can play for a long time in this league being one of those guys. And again, I'll say this, once you have kind of accepted the fact that that's what your role is going to be. I think that there was interest. I know there was some interest in Carson Wentz a year ago before they signed Blaine Gabbert on things. I don't think he was – I think he still viewed himself as a starter. And so I don't think the price was right. But now he's here. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with that move. You know, when you look – I was looking at this morning – because last night I almost laughed at it when I saw it come across the thing, and I was like, okay, is this an April Fool? Because the way yesterday was, right, type of thing. But it wasn't like me laughing like, oh, great, this is Carson Wentz coming in here. But when you look at his time at a as a quarterback, his record is not that great outside of the 1 year, you know, in Philadelphia. But he hasn't been awful, right? It's like a 25 to touchdowns to 5 to 7 interceptions ratio. For the majority of his career, like that's okay. That's okay. He's a guy that you want as a backup quarterback. Like to me, this is kind of the quintessential piece that the Chiefs love in terms of who they want as their backup quarterback. And I'm certainly fine with the move.
Okay, what about the possibility of signing J.K. Dobbins? Since Adam Schefter says he's in Kansas City, meeting with the Chiefs now. Nate Bucchietti, then Jake Gutierrez, then Mark Boerichter.
Well. So he played. He played one game this past year. What was
he got hurt?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what his. I mean,
Achilles. Yeah.
He's only 25 years old, and he doesn't have that much wear and tear on him. He's carried the ball 234 times. He had a bunch of carries his first year. He averaged 6 yards a carry, then 5.5 yards a carry. I think there's a lot of meat left on that bone. I mean,
and he's not coming here to be the primary guy. Yeah, that's Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah. I mean, that's if it's affordable, I love it.
Yeah, his issue is he just can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously if he's in a limited role, then he has a better chance of staying healthy.
We said that about Jerick McKinnon, right?
Yeah.
He couldn't stay healthy. It's a freaking running back that they won the Super Bowl with the first time.
No one. Nobody. Come on. Come on, think about him getting that handoff against the 49ers. Anthony Sherman
gone.
With a huge block.
Anthony Sherman.
And then this guy
Williams.
Is to the house.
There you go.
What's his first name,
Which
though?
Which
Damien.
Oh!
That boy.
I was wanting to say Daryl, but because it was Daryl, too,
was,
right?
Yeah, sure
there was Daryl.
But Damien Williams, he couldn't stay healthy for a full season, and they got out of him. They needed.
I mean, Nate said it was like he was pronouncing a name he'd never seen before. Damien.
There you go.
But you got it.
No,
you nailed
it. I think it'd be a great move for the Chiefs in a place that they need. And to go back to Carson Wentz, I mean, I think this is an upgrade over Blaine Gabbert. So you're improving your roster.
It's a shot at you, Stephen. He's right. He's taking a shot at you.
I'm just saying, if you have one game to win and you have to start a backup quarterback because Mahomes is out, would you rather have Gabbert or Wentz? Right. And so, like, my point is that you're upgrading your roster.
Yep.
That, even though, you know, Mahomes has started every game since 2019,
basically.
I
like it.
So I think, you know, hopefully that we don't ever have to find out if the guy can play.
In 2021, Dobbins suffered a torn ACL in the final preseason game against Washington. Didn't play the entire 21 season. 22 season. He was cleared for full-time starter duty after missing the first 2 weeks of the season. Suffered another injury week 6. Placed on IR in October. Active injury reserve in December. 2023, week 1 game against the Texans. He tore his Achilles. So
he's been injury prone, but here's the thing. Like, this is the one thing when you start looking at the compositions of rosters and what teams want to do. Okay? The Chiefs, for the longest time, especially over the last few years, through this run of Super Bowls, have, in AFC Championship games, have really been running back by committee. Obviously, Isaiah Pacheco is the number one, right? But he was a seventh-round pick here 2 years ago on things. So, like, they are willing and to play more than one guy in that role, all right? Yes, you're kind of going to, quote, have a feature back, but he's really not a feature back. It's a situational type of thing for all of those guys because they've now expanded Isaiah Pacheco a little bit more in terms of his touches with getting him the ball out of the backfield a little bit more in the passing game. That really didn't happen before. Jerick McKinnon was always that guy. You know, way back in when you started looking at the history of the National Football League, you had third down backs, right, where the guys could pick up pass protection but also hurt you in the passing game as well. You're going to throw some numbers at it. This is why the running back position has been devalued overall from a contract side of things, is because you can plug and play some more guys, and that's what the Chiefs have done. So if they decide to go forward with J.K. Dobbins, I like that move as well. They need depth there.
I bet that Carson Wentz can run a hell of a quarterback sneak. Rashee Rice.
Mm-hmm.
I just the name. That's how I'll set it up. Rashee Rice. Go.
Number one, obviously an unfortunate situation. We don't have all the facts on everything. We have
hardly any of them.
I think a fairly decent understanding of potentially what happened. Based on some photos and, you know, live dash cam stuff that's out there, things like that. But I say this. This is an NFL's front office worst fear going into this time of year, and probably even before this time of year. But the off season for guys that are coming off their rookie year with some money in their pocket, going home, because, and then you add in that this team was extremely successful again this year, and a rookie wideout who was obviously a key component of that, feeling good about things where it's at. You go home, and he's a Richland Hills kid from the Metroplex in Dallas. As you guys know, I cover that area for work, odd things. Went to SMU. This looks like a street racing incident between two vehicles that seem to be connected to him. But, again, it's about going home and being around a crew of people. And I'm not saying this is absolutely the case with him, but this is what, in general, NFL GMs and front office people worry about every single year. Because you're not in necessarily the structured environment you were before. And you lose a little bit of focus and maybe make some bad decisions. And I think, you know, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, it's a bad look, right? I'll say that. It's a bad look. We don't know all the facts in regards to all of it. I'm not apologizing for his behavior when I say this, but he's a young guy that doesn't seem to have made a very good decision, is what it appears right now on things. And we've all made bad decisions in our lives, or maybe not bad decisions, but decisions we probably shouldn't have made, and probably made a lot of them when we were younger as well. But it's just not a great look, obviously, right now for him through this whole situation.
Look, and there's a lot of different possible outcomes here, right?
Yep.
And we don't know what they are. But just based right now, and because of when this is happening and the timing of it, do you guys think this at all influences the Chiefs and what they where they draft a wide receiver?
We're still a month away here from the draft. We're 4 weeks. I shouldn't say a complete month because it is April, but it's at the end of the month here. I think we'd be naive to say it, based on what they find out over the next couple weeks here, that it certainly could.
But just the fact that this happened,
influence it.
Yeah.
And I'll point back to this, a guy we've talked about in here a lot, Mecole Hardman. Okay? Mecole Hardman came in here the year when all the Tyreek Hill situation was going on,
mm-hmm.
during the offseason, right, with the alleged child abuse or whatever it was, right, back in that time frame. That was the year they traded up in the second round and got Mecole Hardman. And a lot of people at that time looked at it and said, okay, this is kind of an insurance policy, potentially, right, for what could happen with Tyreek Hill from a discipline side of things. I don't think you can factor that all in, because even if there's some personal conduct policy here, that happens with the National Football League, which I think there probably will be, as they look into all these different things.
Possible suspension?
Yep. The Chiefs have dealt with those before.
I was drafting a wide receiver anyway. Yeah. I'm drafting Ladd McConkey if he's there anyway.
Yeah, I don't think...
Now I'm really drafting him.
Where I go with this is, I don't think it completely influences their decision, because I think we all were in agreement here that they're going to draft a wide receiver at some point anyway. Now, does that, you know, factor in a little bit more based on potentially what you think as the Chiefs gather more information on this and understand potentially what a suspension could look like, or no suspension, or whatever that is? It's certainly something they're probably going to think about, for sure.
Might draft two wide receivers instead of one.
Ooh.
You know, I mean, it's certainly going to factor in.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're going to want to know as much as they possibly can. And just to your point about, like, young people doing stupid things, there's a reason car insurance is really expensive for young boys and young men.
Yes.
Right? There's a reason. How old do you have to be to get a rental car? Was it 25?
I don't know. I think you can actually rent it younger now.
But you have to pay extra money. Yeah. And some places won't let you do it. It doesn't make it – because I see a lot of back and forth on this. Some people are trying to say, hey, look, young guy – you know, has a tendency to do dumb things. And people, that doesn't make, nobody's saying that makes, well, I shouldn't say nobody. I don't think anybody's trying to say it makes it okay to go do stupid things. But it is a reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's part, I mean.
I will say this too, in terms of talking to people down in the Metroplex, like the street racing and different things are getting really bad down there. Okay, on stuff.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
But I'm saying, yes, everywhere. But I'm also telling you, like, this is a problem down there also, right? Mm-hmm. Is where I'm going with this. And when you factor in to where you're talking about this, young guys with a car that, you know.
With a bunch of cash.
Yes, that goes extremely fast.
Yeah.
And other folks with you making, you know, those decisions. That all factors into a decision that you shouldn't make.
It doesn't mean that the decision comes without consequences.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, that's, dude, as a dad who's raising a 14-year-old boy right now and I'm trying to teach him how to drive, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
The idea, because right now, my son can only drive when we're in the car with him.
Correct.
And that's terrifying. The idea that here pretty soon I could just let him go drive this thing out in the world.
My son is 15 and can drive to school and back.
Yeah, to
himself.
Me.
Yep.
And you
hope, and he does.
And you think about, at least I do, the dumb stuff I did as a kid, and I just try to tell him, please don't make the kind of mistake you can't ever recover from. Because
mm-hmm.
you're going to do some dumb stuff. That's what you hope.
We will be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810. WHB, thanks for joining us. Anything else you have to get off your chest, Mark Boerwichter?
No, not really.
Do it.
This is the time of free agency here. These types of signings, like a Carson Wentz or J.K. Dobbins for the right price, this is when GMs earn all of their stripes during this period of free agency. It's those little kind of off the radar moves that happen that increase the depth of your roster. Maybe you find a starter in there somewhere for a reasonable price that fits into what you want to do and everything else. And we'll see also, I guess, last final words for me on this. We'll see how this vote and everything else goes in Kansas City today. There'll be a lot to talk about tomorrow, regardless, one way or the other with it. So. Got a little high school baseball action this afternoon to watch.
So the weather holds up for you?
Yeah. Did you guys watch any of the women's tournament last night?
All of it.
All of it.
Fantastic.
Dude, all my buddies were watching it. Everybody was watching
it. I'll say this. I know there's a couple of young ladies that, and a Caitlin Clark, right, and Angel Reese, that get a lot of publicity, and rightfully so, based on their skill level. But if you watch that Iowa-LSU game last night, like, a high-scoring affair for a women's game. But the ball movement and the passing that happened during the course of that game was absolute clinical for the majority of it. It was awesome to watch.
It's good basketball.
Can't wait till Friday.
You know.
UConn against Iowa. Paige Becker's against Caitlin Clark. Thankfully, that's the late game Friday, 8 o'clock tip-off.
Yeah, and football's back, by the way. UFL's playing.
They did.
Just in case. Anybody wants to know?
Did you get some money on that, Jake?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some big matchups this weekend.
I watched a little bit of that this weekend in between the men's Elite Eight games as well. So
the Battle Hawks?
Yep.
Didn't they lose on a 65-yard field goal?
Yeah, to Michigan.
Coached by former Kansas City Chief Anthony Beck.
There we go.
For a brief time here.
Mark Boerwichter, we talked about a lot. We covered a lot of ground. Thank you.
We did cover a lot of things today. Thank you, fellas.
That's Mark Boerwichter, former Chiefs wide receiver. We'll be back after this on WHB.